This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Connor, we just found out. Please fill us in on why the spring game is not going to be televised. What's the deal here?
Well, I think Kirby wants to keep Georgia's options open in that regard. He cited last year about how Kentucky had to end up canceling their spring game. And, you know, look, on the one hand, this does make the in-person experience that Georgia is still planning to do for G-Day on April 12th. I think more of an event, it encourages more people to show up. I think there would be potentially a little bit more juice on G-Day for just people to see something in the stadium to have a better in-Athens product. But at the same point in time, you know, I know not everyone wants to make it to G-Day. Not everyone wants to come to Athens. And so that this isn't going to be televised, you know, there's a part of this that you wonder, okay, maybe Kirby doesn't want people seeing what Georgia has with seeing Georgia is out there doing. And there's another part where, you know, maybe they want to make G-Day more special to the city of Athens and to the people that are coming to Sanford Stadium and make that a bigger event in that regard.
Kirby just wants to kill it, Connor. Kirby just, you know, I mean, we've talked about other universities. Nebraska comes to mind, and I just think I get it. Another week of practice. He doesn't want to go to the rigmarole, the injury risk you touched about. I touched on that last week. I mean, Kirby, is this just something that a lot of other coaches are going to take Kirby's, follow his lead, and Kirby's going to kind of do this passive aggressively?
It's certainly something where, Mike, you look at what Kirby said last week. He's like, I want to have spring games. You look at his actions in the past, and you point to 93 K-Day and the impact I think that had on the Georgia program. But then you look at something like this, and I agree with you that it does make you raise an eyebrow in that discussion. Because, yes, even though there are some programs out there, Nebraska, Texas, USC, even Missouri and the SEC, opting not to have a spring game, Texas A&M is still getting into Kyle Field the next week at 1 o'clock and playing a spring game. Georgia Tech, 1 o'clock, April 12th, is going to have a spring game. So I do raise an eyebrow with this, and I am curious to ultimately see what Kirby Smart and Georgia decide on when it comes to what G-Day is going to look like. When Kirby spoke about it last week, when Josh Brooks a few weeks ago had a chance to speak about it, there was nothing concrete in those plans, and I'm curious to see what changes going forward with what Georgia ultimately elects to do.
So before we get to the Dogs and Mike White and the tournament, let's talk some spring football and what's going on with the offensive line and what are you hearing coming out of the first few practices?
It's a massive spring for this group. It's a massive offseason for this group. They lose four guys to the NFL, and Tate Ratledge, Dylan Fairchild, and Jared Wilson, I think, are going to be top 100 players. So it's not like talent was an issue there. And you know, they don't bring anyone via transfer portal, and I don't think they were ever planning on doing so. So, and there's a lot of unknowns with this group, and a group that just frankly has to play better going into this season. So there's obviously a lot of pressure under Stacey Sarles, given everything that has transpired this offseason. Now, they do have some players that I think, you know, maybe overlooked a little bit. They've got guys that have starting experience coming back, Ernest Green, Monroe Freeling, Micah Morris and Drew Bobo. And if you're able to keep those guys healthy, I think that's going to help you in terms of putting together an offensive line this year. They've also got some young guys that they're really excited about. Bo Hewley from the Atlanta area is someone who has made real strides this offseason and I think could at the very least push to be a depth piece and maybe even a starter. You've got Daniel Calhoun, who I know we've talked about before, and I know Georgia very much likes what they've seen out of him, and his work ethic is going to help him get on the field. And then they've got a really talented freshman out of Westlake and Juan Gaston, who, if he's able to reshape his body and get his weight under control, they love the athleticism and the ability that he brings to the table. And so there's some young pieces here on the offensive line. But Kirby Smart mentioned they always knew that this was going to be a year where they're going to lose a lot on the offensive line. And then you add in the fact that the offensive line a season ago wasn't all that good. Mm-hmm. It's a major question mark, not just for this spring, but for the rest of the offseason as well.
Connor Riley, guys, you can read his article in Dog Nation today talking just about that. Kirby Smart says, grow up and play to his offensive line. So if things go bad, that means Georgia would reach into the portal right after spring practice if they don't see the traction for they're looking for from their O-line?
That is the case, but I don't expect them to do that. And Kirby Smart's talked about this before. You know, offensive line is one of those positions where very rarely you see a quality player go into the transfer portal. More often than not, those become very competitive players if they enter the transfer portal. The last transfer portal offensive lineman Georgia took was Tyler Catalina, and that was way back before Kirby Smart's first ever game at the University of Georgia. Right. They've always put a priority on recruiting the offensive line well. They've always put a priority on developing young offensive linemen. That's really going to be tested this offseason, and especially now that Stacey Searles is in his fourth year as the offensive line coach here at Georgia. These are all his guys. I'm very curious in seeing just how this sort of season puts a further referendum on what Stacey Searles is and able to do as Georgia's offensive line coach.
All right, let's talk some hoops. Mike White, Dogs trying to make some history, 20-12 back in the NCAA tournament for the first time in 10 years. Open play on Thursday, 4:35 on TBS against Coach Mark Few and Gonzaga. I have said, Connor, despite the fact that it's Gonzaga and everybody knows what their history is, I do like the Dogs' chances in this game. Talk to me about what you've learned about this team and what's been the difference with Mike White over the last four or five weeks.
Yeah, I think ever since Georgia's bye in the middle of February, they've come out and they've been a better basketball team. I think they've grown a lot. It's still a very young team. R.J. Godfrey's the only guy on this team that has NCAA tournament experience, but they go on the road and they play Auburn well. They beat number one seed Florida. You get wins at Texas and a home win over Vanderbilt. Even against Oklahoma, you know, yes, it's a loss, but I thought they played well in that game. And so, you know, they're going to play a Gonzaga team, which has the longest first-round winning streak of any team in the NCAA tournament right now. The last time Gonzaga lost its first game of the NCAA tournament was back in 2008, and the team they were playing against, they had this guard, I don't know if you guys remember him, Steph Curry, playing for Davidson. So it's going to be an uphill battle. This is a Gonzaga team that a season ago made the Sweet 16. They've got some talented players, but they're not super deep. And this isn't a vintage Gonzaga team in that regard. And I'd point out as well with Gonzaga, you know, they've only played St. Mary's since the turn of the calendar year to 2025, that teams that made the NCAA tournament, and they went 1-2 against them. And they lost to a Kentucky team, which Georgia beat head-to-head. So I think, based on the strength that Georgia went through in the SEC and everything that they played there, they're not going to be overwhelmed. And while, yes, it's an accomplishment for Georgia and Mike White to get to this point, they know that winning a game and winning against a program like Gonzaga is going to do potentially so much for them. So they know they have a very big opportunity, even though this season has already been characterized, in my opinion, as a major success for the program.
And Connor, we were talking about it earlier. I mean, guys that like help drive the program, you know, the big boosters that cut the checks, the guy that helped drive the NIL and all that. Are they waiting for a sign like that to like further engage?
Right. And, you know, this year they did spend more money in terms of putting this roster together and building this program out. And like, sure, you have an Asa Newell, who's a five-star target and is going to be a first-round pick in this upcoming NBA draft. But you look at the guys that have developed, and the reason this Georgia team, in my opinion, made such a leap over the last 4 to 5 weeks, Silas Demery has made such improvements as he's coming to the end of his sophomore year. That's a guy who, if you can get him to stay for another year, you develop him more. This Georgia program, I think, can take another jump. Blue Kane got better over the course of the season. A lot of these players, just a lot of these young players, got better over the course of the season. I think that's a really encouraging thing to see from a coach, and especially at a place like Georgia where the reality is you're going to have to be able to build. And so the fact that Georgia's been able to do this, the fact that those NIL checks, I think, have seen some return on investment, and the atmosphere that you saw at Stegman Coliseum, Mike White shouted it out last night after the game, absolutely made a difference for Georgia this year. I think that this has been a really encouraging step for Georgia going forward, and knowing that, hey, we can do this, and with a little bit more, we can potentially have a much greater season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the development, and those guys have gotten better. It's funny, because Greg Sankey said this, and I want to know if you agree with him. Connor Riley, guys, covers the Dogs for Dog Nation. We're talking about Mike White and Dogs in the NCAA tournament. And you know, he was talking about all the redos of the arenas and the new arenas and all of the stuff that they've done to help. And I'm just curious, like, the investment that the SEC has tried to put into basketball, do you feel like that's paying off? Because that's what Sankey's talking about here, whether it was Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, the redo of arenas, and all the stuff that they've tried to do to help these.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Programs.
I absolutely think so. I think you see investment in those programs, not obviously just with the facilities, but you look at the coaches, the caliber of coaches that requires there. And even Georgia, you know, hiring Mike White away from Florida, which was not a popular move at the time because there were a lot of people who thought that White's time at Florida may have been coming to an end. To land a guy like that who had been able to sustain somewhat level of success at Florida, even if it wasn't the Billy Donovan level, speaks to where Georgia is compared to with Tom Crean and the way that things have run his course at the end of Indiana and whatnot. I think, you know, the investment that you've seen in Georgia basketball, the changes that they've made to Stegman Coliseum, even, you know, it may not be a big thing, but the way that they have moved the students around and I think prioritized them to creating, in my opinion, a better game day environment than it was, say, 5-6 years ago, I think speaks to just the attention to detail that this league has had in the SEC. And we've seen it for so long in football. It's not a surprise to now see it carry over to basketball.
Great stuff, Connor Riley, as always. And again, just want to be clear before we let you go, the spring game will not be televised, correct?
That is correct.
All right.
This revolution will not be televised, Carl.
Connor, tell everybody where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We're still going to have spring practice coverage. And then 4:35 on Thursday, Georgia's going to take on Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament, and we'll be there too.